Hello, my name is Nika Alexander, and I am a communications officer with the World Health Organization. The interview you are about to hear was recorded for World Malaria Day, which is April 25th. It is part of an interview series featuring leaders and advocates in the global malaria response as they reflect on key moments in fighting this disease. Getting good data on malaria is essential. Like a puzzle, each piece fits together to help experts understand trends such as how many people are getting sick and how many have died. Through strong surveillance systems, countries can see who is most affected by the disease and where malaria control tools like bed nets, diagnostics, and medicines are needed most. As technology has changed over the decades, so too have the approaches to collect, analyze, and use malaria data. To learn about how countries gather and use this information, today we are speaking with Dr. Arantxa Roca Felcher, the head of monitoring and evaluation at the Malaria Consortium, which is a nonprofit organization specializing in the prevention, control, and treatment of malaria and other communicable diseases. Its activities are focused in Africa and Asia, where Dr. Roca Felcher has worked a lot herself. Doctor, welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much, and good morning.
So let's start, let's launch right in. Could you explain to us what a malaria surveillance system is and why it's so important?
Sure. So in simple terms, surveillance is considered like the eyes and ears of public health. It refers to the systematic and ongoing collection, collation, analysis, and interpretation of malaria and other health-related data, as well as the timely dissemination of that information to those who really need to know so that action can be taken. But a malaria surveillance system really comprises different aspects, so the people, the procedures, the tools, and the structures necessary to generate information on malaria cases and deaths. In terms of why it's important, in essence, because surveillance provides information to guide interventions. So it's a key link in the surveillance chain that application of this data for action is taken so that informed decisions are made. It's very important to empower decision makers to lead and manage their programs with the most effective and accurate information. Since surveillance directly measures what is going on in the population, it's useful for measuring what sort of interventions need to be targeted, as well as how these interventions are actually performing. Given that the key role of surveillance systems in combating malaria, WHO recently incorporated the need for transforming malaria surveillance into a core intervention as a key pillar of the malaria global technical strategy. So strengthening malaria surveillance is therefore fundamental to program planning and implementation, and it's a crucial contributor to accelerating malaria elimination efforts.
So you can't solve the problem of malaria if you're, for example, the other pillar is making sure people have access to all the tools. But once you have the tools, you have to know where they're going to be used, who needs to use them, and so on. So that's why the data is such an important part. Is that right?
Absolutely. So it's really a process of collecting good quality data, as well as analyzing and interpreting that information to use that information for decision-making. Sometimes the hardest part is really the data use culture in terms of ensuring that information is timely used for informing decisions.
You talked about how the data is interpreted and then used for decision-making. Can you help make that concrete for us and tell us about an experience where you saw that kind of information informing decision-making? You've worked in Laos, Cambodia, Malawi, you are in Mozambique now. So can you give us an example from one of those countries where you have worked, where you saw the data collected in surveillance being used to change what was actually happening on the ground?
So there are quite a few different examples. So malaria surveillance data, for example, in terms of it captures information on different levels. It could be case data or it could be other sort of information that is related to malaria. So, for example, one of the critical elements for timely response is ensuring that there is appropriate service delivery at the lowest level. So one of the key elements is ensuring commodities are in place. So if community health workers or health facility are reporting lack of stocks, for example, there needs to be a rapid mechanism to inform and alert that there needs to be a rapid kind of distribution of new stocks in that particular health facility. A good effective surveillance system should be able to flag up these issues for continuum of care. In terms of case-related data, for example, my experience in Asia that it's really moving towards more elimination levels was really about ensuring that we were moving from an aggregated reported system to an individual-based, case-based reporting. So any new case that was being identified really required a rapid action for case investigations and follow-up, and that really required alerting of a team to go and trace that case and provide investigations so that rapid interventions or responses should be implemented.
So you're saying in a country that's closer to elimination, you don't need that broad data anymore, for example, what parts of the countries are affected. You need really specific granular information about which community is reporting cases so that you can really focus your energy on those flare-up. Is that about right?
Absolutely. The closer we move towards malaria elimination, we really need to start following and tracking every single case so that proper action could be taken. In some cases, it could be just an imported case and not necessarily an action might be required. If in other cases, it could be identifying a new focus and there needs to be a management of transmission foci. It might be kind of requiring identification of breeding sites and identification of potential vector control interventions that might be needed around that case or around that particular area. So it really is important that targeted interventions are properly addressed and linked to every single new case that it's identified in elimination cases.
Tell me how your work has evolved over the years. Was there a leap in technology at any point which was really exciting for you? Can you remember a time when you saw some real advances and it changed the kind of work you do in surveillance?
Over the last years, I would say there have been some breakthroughs. I remember when we were starting on kind of linking malaria information systems or kind of building from routine health information systems, the way we were recording, collecting and reporting cases, it was mostly paper-based. And I think one of the major breakthroughs was really the transition from paper-based data collection and reporting systems to electronic systems. I would say that this has been one of the major breakthroughs in computing and digital technologies that really enabled surveillance systems to be capable of, for example, faster aggregation or reporting. It really improved the data quality, mainly by limiting the opportunities of human error for all the data processes. And also improved the visualization of data in a much more user-friendly way through dashboards, for example. And that really brought malaria intelligence to life to really trigger then the promotion of data use, which is what we are now seeing in most of the malaria surveillance systems.
What do you see on the horizon? What is coming up that you have your fingers crossed for, that you have hopes for, and you think will change the work you do?
I guess before kind of seeing what is in the horizon, I think it's important to understand what still remain the big challenges. And I think it's really the fact that despite key improvements, there is still no single information system that currently meets all the needs that a malaria elimination capable surveillance system needs, such as, for example, a proper individual level case-based reporting that triggers a case investigations, foci investigations, proper responses, or even helping the task management and supporting supervision. So all those steps are really not fully integrated yet into a fit-for-purpose malaria surveillance system, although we are making progress. So one of the excitements for me in terms of what's on the pipeline, there is a lot of initiatives currently under development to provide countries with a much more capable surveillance system, linking all these different components that are needed through enhancements of current platforms or data warehouse, but as well as linkages with specific mHealth applications, for example, to facilitate community service delivery at low levels like community or health facility, provide supportive supervision, which is one of the key challenges we see in the countries when implementation is taking place, linkages with the private sector. There's a lot of technology-driven enhancements happening at the moment. as well as improvements of the analytic capabilities of DHIS2 or health routine health management information systems. I would say perhaps the other technological development that I think I'm quite hopeful is the integration of call record data to identify possible mobility patterns to define what are the potential targeted areas for interventions, as well as identifying potential sources of infection, those more for malaria elimination settings.
In the end, then, you're saying that there may be a few technological advances on the horizon, but what you're really excited about and what would really help us in the aim of eliminating malaria in more countries is just doing better with the tools we already have.
Definitely doing better with what we have, which basically everything we will end up using for decision-making comes from the kind of primary level, which is the data from the field. So it's very important to emphasize that our interpretation and use of the data will be as good as the quality that it's really fitting that system. This is something that it's very important that high quality of data, it's informing the system. And there are many steps that are needed, but this is a critical role. And I think one of the key elements there, it's really closing the loop, is really data to action culture, where although we are becoming more and more aware of the importance, I think it's also still one of the key challenges that we are currently facing. It's kind of ensuring that every single data user or malaria-related staff member is included into a framework of using and reporting data for a more timely decision-making.
I think that's an excellent note to end on. Thank you very much for your time today, Dr. Roca Feltrer.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.